been going through the Beatitudes on Sunday evening. This is the number 6 of the Beatitudes that Jesus gives in Matthew 5. You have your notes if you'd like to follow along this evening. The others, remember Jesus in his Beatitudes, they were asked a blessing for those who are poor in spirit. Oh God. Blessed are they that mourn for the right things. You receive comfort. Then blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. And hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. So tonight, in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I put in your notes a little bit of information or just introduce the Beatitude. When you look at it, to me it's in contrast to the mere external and the body purification about which the Pharisees were very scrupulous. In Matthew 23, verse 25, when Jesus pronounces the woes on the Pharisees, in verse 25, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward." They were concerned about that outward appearance. Jesus, in the Beatitudes, says, "How much the blessing is for those who are pure in heart." Pharisees says, "No, I want you to look at them on the outside." And then Jesus continues, "But within, they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Verse 28, he continues that same illustration. "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So I see a contrast in the audience that many times Jesus has to address. He says, "I want to reserve a blessing for those who are pure in heart, and not just those who are concerned with outward appearance." Concerned. So the Beatitude centers itself on several words, just in the Beatitude itself. Verse 1, that word pure, I know you know what it means, but just by definition, sincere, unmixed, cleansed, pure from defilement or contamination, to thoroughly purge, not alloyed, meaning a substance that's mixed and lowers its value. It means pure, it's their one definition, freedom from evil desires and purposes. Absence of any foreign element. Pure. There's a blessing for those who are pure, and now it's in heart. Pure in heart. Not the physical blood-pumping organ in our body. Jesus is not necessarily teaching a health lesson. But rather, he's concerned about the inward man, the heart of man. Blessed are the pure in heart. Paul uses a phrase in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, about a contrast of the inward and the outward man. He's teaching that there's both an outward and an inward being, a physical and a spiritual. And that each heart, it involves the seat of life, if you will. You stop either one, and you die. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, though the outward man's decaying, I can attest to that, but our inward man, renewed day by day. Just for illustration about these two hearts. In the Old Testament, and I don't have these in your notes, but Absalom, in King James English, had his heart pricked in 2 Samuel 18, verse 14. It says, "And he, Joab, took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom and slew him." It was a physical heart. Yeah, sure is. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "So when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Physical heart? See, there's two different hearts. And they're acted upon by different weapons. Absalom's heart was attacked by real darts. The people on the day of Pentecost, they were penetrated or pricked by the gospel message, a good news message. It's the heart of the inward man that the gospel touches. There's a blessing for those who are pure in heart. That heart involves, and I put these in your notes, it involves that the intellect of man, the emotional will of, and the will of man, and the conscience of man. It's the heart that has to be converted and be pure in order to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's interesting too, I noted in my notes, you know, nothing is said in the Beatitude about how the heart is purified. We're going to have to find out that from other places. But Jesus just said, blessed are the pure in heart. Okay? For they shall see God. So we want purity of heart first. And then it says, the consequence of that is you see God. Not with physical eyes, not with that organ of physical sight. Rather, you see God with a pure heart. To see, by definition, too, means to grasp a concept, at least one definition. I know you can see physically. But you can also, the word see, oh, I grasp that concept, or I understand, I see, I comprehend. If I see something, I'm enlightened in mind. I perceive a true meaning. I've captured the thought. So I just put by illustration, you know, we've all said or heard, someone says, I can see right through that person. Or we say, I see the truth in that. Or I see that honesty is the best policy. I see, said the blind man. I see. So just for illustration in your notes, first in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. Not with the physical eyes. No one's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he's declared him. Yeah. In John 4, verse 24, and I put these in your notes, but God is spirit. Spiritual being. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, his disciples said, have I been with you so long a time that you've not known me, Philip? I've been with you and you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I thought no man seen the Father at any time. Oh, but I see. I understand. I comprehend. So then Jesus said to Philip, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Oh, I see the Father in the Son. I see, I comprehend, I understand. In Colossians 1, verse 15, Paul said, who, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God? How can I see an invisible God? So just like there's two kinds of hearts, physical heart and the mind, that inward man. Oh, I see, not I don't see God with my physical eyes, but I comprehend. I have some understanding. It's interesting too. The opposite in 1 John 3, verse 6. Whoever sins has not seen him. Neither knows him. Wow. Inward man. In verse 11. He that does evil has not seen God. So Jesus says, I want you to see God, but it's going to require a pure heart. Not physical eyes. So for me to see God, you know, live while living right now, I need to turn my heart to him. As Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, how can I come to God? Must believe, see, comprehend, understand. Must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. How can I seek after God?
people.
But I've seen, you know, we have the testimony of the apostles and others seen the Christ, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what a man sees in life is not only what he sees in front of his eyes, but what he sees in his heart. So here are four things that the Bible mentions about the heart, or the inward man. I can use a different word too. First of all, the heart or the inward man could be defined as the intellect. And the Bible speaks of an intellectual heart in these terms. I've listed these for you. But Matthew 9, verse 4, Jesus said, wherefore think, why do you think evil in your hearts? Well, that's not the blood pumping organ. You can think evil in your heart? Oh, with your mind, inward man. Matthew 13, verse 15 says, they understood or understand with their heart. Not the physical organ, but the heart has the ability to understand that inward man. In Mark chapter 2, verse 8, and immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your heart? The heart needs a reason. In Romans 10, verse 10, Paul said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So when we think about the biblical definition of the heart, it involves the intellect, or the inward man, not the physical pump. But the heart or the mind of man has the ability to reason, to understand. It's in the verses. The intellectual heart has to be converted by the evidence or by the testimony. Our intellect. I see. Next was emotion. The Bible speaks of an emotional heart in these terms. 2 Samuel 6, verse 18, when she, meaning Michael, Saul, who was Saul's daughter, despised him, meaning David. She despised David in her heart. How can you do that? Not the physical organ. The inward man, the mind of man, the heart of man, that seat of life, has the ability to express emotion. In Romans 10, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire, not a physical pump, desires, my inward man, my mind, my heart's desire, my supplication to God is for them that they might be saved. So heart has emotion. In Matthew 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. Love God with your heart. Something else besides this physical organ. But the Bible refers to the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, the mind, that inward man, has the ability to show emotion and to think and to reason and to comprehend. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in Jehovah with all thy heart. So when the Bible speaks about the heart of man, and Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, intellect and emotion. And again, that Acts 2, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, cut to the heart, cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? So that's all that, the intellect, the emotion side of man. Number three is the will of man. The Bible speaks of a willful heart in these terms. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 37. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart. I have that determination, that will to stand steadfast in my heart. Not my physical organ, but with my inward man. My mind, the heart of man. That ability to reason and to express emotion. Now I can have some determination. The next phrase is, he stands steadfast in his heart. He has power over his own will, but has also determined in his heart. Oh, the inward man again. Acts 11, verse 23. Paul says, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. How do you do that? Purpose of heart. All that in inward man, that determination, that intellect, that emotion, and now that determination or the will of man. Romans 6, verse 17, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Can the heart obey the inward man? Hebrews 4, verse 12. You know, the word of God is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, the heart of man. Blessed are the pure in heart. So the willful heart is converted by motives that are produced by faith. Well, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Heart of man has ability, inward man. The last one, conscience. These four areas determine and define the heart biblically. The Bible speaks of a conscious heart. 1 John 3, verse 20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. All things. But beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. Interesting phrase, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. We sometimes think, oh, I've done some awful things, and my heart, my mind is just condemning me. I'm just not a very good person. Oh, but God's greater than our hearts. And God can forgive, and does. God's greater. I'm going to condemn myself, but God doesn't. No, I'm greater than your heart, Brian. Your heart, you may in your own mind, your own heart, think, oh, I'm not worthy or what, or not, but that, the idea is, look what I've said or look what I've done. I wonder if I can be forgiven. God says, oh, I'm greater than your heart. You can condemn yourself, but I can forgive. So the Bible speaks about this part of man, the heart, the conscience. It's purified by faith. You cannot have an approved conscience. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. With the Old Testament story of Noah in reference, which also after true likeness does now save you, even baptism, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but not just being dipped in water, but the interrogation or the answer of a good conscience. Your heart. God, I've done what you've said. I have a good conscience. That I've heard your message, and with my heart, with my intellect, with my emotion, with my determination or will, my conscience is good. I've done what you've said. And then this written, but there's a verse. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I write unto you that you may know that you're saved. You may know. Good conscience. Heart of man. Inward man. So I put near closing in your notes the value of a pure heart. The admonition, the warning. Proverbs 4, verse 23. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Good to keep your physical heart in good shape too. But there's this, the heart of man, the mind of man, the inward man, that intellect, that emotion, that will or determination, that conscience. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Oh, the heart of man has intellect. He has the ability to comprehend and reason. I see, said the blind man. Given the evidence and given the testimony. So that's the lesson. We see God, not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. The inward man. Ah, I see. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. The good news, gospel message already. From the lesson, we sing until they come. The gospel's for all. You can come make your way up here for me. You know that, again, you hear me say at the close of every lesson, those last words of Jesus, and Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world. Tell everybody. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. It's a salvation invitation, a salvation message. Whosoever will may come. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known.